John chapter 6 verses 1 through 15. This is the reading of God's word. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. Then they were filled, and he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountains by himself alone. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is truly heavenly manna to us. Let us feed upon your word, feed upon Jesus Christ, so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would be with us, that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that your word will be understood by your people, believed, and obeyed to bring glory and honor to you. Let us grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we hear your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have preached through John 6 about 6 years ago, and about 90% of you did not hear them. So today and the next 5 Lord's Supper, Lord's Days, we will look at John chapter 6. I believe it is very important that you understand this chapter. There is so much to learn from this chapter. Thus, we will look at it through 6 sermons. We could divide the chapter into 3 sections. Chapter 6, verse 1 through 15, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Then from verses 16 through 21, we read about Jesus walking on the water, the sea. And from verses 22 all the way to the end of chapter, there we find Jesus' teaching. Jesus teaches us the meaning of the event of the feeding of the 5,000 in that section. We could also divide the chapter in terms of time. The feeding of 5,000 happened in the late afternoon. Mark chapter 6 verse 35 says, when it was already quite late. Or NIV says, by this time it was late in the day. So we could say that the feeding of 5,000 happened late in the afternoon, And Jesus walking on the water, verse 16 says, now when evening came, so walking on the water that same day, but it was nighttime, and teaching of Jesus, verse 22, the next day. So you could kind of see what is happening in chapter 6 in terms of time. As you know, the book of John does not have the story of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Even though the book of John deals with the events at the upper room from chapters 13 to 17, John uses so much space talking about what happened in the upper room, but John is still silent about the Last Supper, which happened during that time. However, we get the same teaching concerning the Lord's Supper from this chapter, chapter 6 of John. We could even say that the feeding of the 5,000 is a preview of the Lord's Supper. We get the same teaching. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you already know the story. Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. Now, 5,000 men, meaning there were more than 5,000 people, women and children, I don't know how many. But feeding the 5,000 men, using the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish that a boy had. First thing we need to ask is, what is the significance of this 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Now, to feed 5,000 people, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish is not much. Some say that the event teaches us that no matter how insignificant the things we have, if we give them to God, God will use them mightily. Of course, God can use whatever mightily if he wants to. But no matter how great the thing is to us, it is still insignificant to God. So to God, whether we have insignificant thing or even great thing, it really doesn't matter to him. In our story, the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish show us how, with what we have, we are completely unable to accomplish the task at hand. It shows us our inability. Whatever that we have, it is just nothing in order for us to accomplish what we have to accomplish. So the 5 bread and 2 fish show us our complete hopelessness with what we have. We are hopeless. Some say that the feeding of the 5,000 teaches us that Jesus is the Lord of the creation. Of course he is. But that is not the central teaching here. Because Jesus himself explains the event of the feeding of the 5,000. He later tells us what the feeding of 5,000 really means. Some say that the story teaches us that Jesus not only takes care of our spiritual needs, but he also takes care of our physical needs. Now, that is true enough. He does take care of our physical needs. He's the one who says, don't worry about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. But this kind of teaching is so focused on this world, focused on the bread of the world. And if you read what Jesus himself explaining the event of the 5,000, feeding of the 5,000, our focus is never should never be on the worldly bread. But the teaching is that Jesus not only takes care of our spiritual needs, but our physical needs, then our focus is on the bread of this world. And this is not what Jesus is intending. And I believe this is the single most serious problem so many churchgoers have today. Their focus is on this world rather than on heaven. Hear what our Lord says in same chapter, verse 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. So obviously he says, do not work for the food which perishes. Do not work for the worldly food, worldly bread. That should never be our focus, because worldly bread which we need to survive, God promised that he will give it to us. Do not worry about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. God knows what we need, and he does promise us that he will provide. So if we study the feeding of the 5,000, and our conclusion is that, oh, God takes care of our physical needs also, then we're greatly mistaken about what this event really teaches us. So many people follow Jesus. At least they say they do. But they do not understand what Jesus is saying to them. Their focus is on this world, on the food which perishes. Some people even come to church thinking that by doing that, God will give them more of this perishable food. Obviously, that is not what Jesus is teaching here. From verse 22, we learn the true meaning of the story. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the story of Jesus giving himself to his people. Let's read a few verses here, because it will help us to understand. Verses 32 and 33. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, my body. Verse 53. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. Understand, there's a teaching behind these events, these miracles that Jesus performs. It's not just to show you, you know, how wonderful and great he is and how awesome abilities he has. Of course, it clearly shows that too. But it's a revelation. It teaches us. There's a teaching. And that teaching is about Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament, manna was showing us who Jesus is. He is the bread from heaven. And even through feeding of 5,000 people, he's teaching the same message. This is the same teaching that we learn from the Last Supper story in the other Gospels. Jesus is giving us the true food and the true drink. His body torn on the cross and his blood poured out on the cross. The body is the true food and the blood is the true drink. And whoever eats of this body and drink of this drink, he will live forever. Now, you know, this is not talking about cannibalism. This is a symbolical language. We understand what Jesus is saying. He is the life. And we have to feed upon him to have eternal life. The heavenly food that leads to eternal life is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is giving you himself. This is what the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is all about. This is what Jesus says. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Matthew 14:19 says, ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up toward heaven. He blessed the food and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the crowds. The similar language can be found at the story of the Last Supper. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread and after a blessing, just like what he did at the feeding of the 5,000, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now the Passover is the background for the Last Supper, and the same is true for the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 6 of our chapter says, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. So you have all this similar thing, similar language going on. Feeding of the 5,000 and the Last Supper. In our chapter, Jesus connects the story of the feeding of 5,000 to the story of Exodus from Egypt. Especially the story of manna in the wilderness. Thus we learn that the true manna is our Lord Jesus himself. Now the story happens near water, and verse 10 says, now there was much grass in the place. So picture what is happening here. There's water nearby, and there was much grass in the place. Mark chapter 6 verse 39 says, the green grass, not just grass, but green grass. And in chapter 10 of John, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. And in Psalm 78 verse 52 we read, but he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. So all this Old Testament imagery is now being fulfilled. The Lord is my shepherd. God is the true shepherd, and he came as the good shepherd, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, is him. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. He came. Do you see what is happening in this story of the feeding of the 5,000 people? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want, or I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is what is happening in the feeding of the 5,000 people. And you have to understand that this is what is happening spiritually, even as you come to his table today. Don't just see with your physical eyes. What is really, really happening today? Our shepherd, the good shepherd who gave his life for you, he invites you to his table. He makes you lie down in green pastures. And he leads us beside quiet waters. And he prepares a table for us. Do you see our heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished? Verse 1 says that Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias after Caesar, Tiberias. And in the Bible, you already know the sea represents the world. So there's too much wave, there's all kinds of problems as we live in this world. And what is the picture? The picture is that Jesus crosses the world to the other side. That's the picture that you see here. It is the other side of the Red Sea, the other side of the Jordan River. It is the other side, arriving at the other world. That is the picture we see as we start to read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. So whoever participates in this feeding of the 5,000 with Jesus, they cross the sea to the other side. And it happens on the other side. There, on the other side, God's people are eating and drinking with their Lord God, Jesus Christ. What is the picture? Verse 3, then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Do you see it? Do you see the picture? Jesus is the king. I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Sit at my right hand. This is the picture. But understand, Jesus is not the king of this world. So we read in verse 15, so Jesus perceiving that they intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, we're going to talk about this later, but don't you think that's kind of odd here? What is wrong with people trying to make Jesus their king? Isn't that what God wants? That all of us accept him as our king, no? And that's exactly what we read. These people want to make him their king. What is wrong with that? Why is Jesus running away from that? Because these people misunderstood the message of the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember what he said when they came to him? He says what? You do not seek me because of the sign, but you seek me because you ate and your bellies were filled with food. They were thinking, Jesus, if I follow him, then I don't have to worry about earthly food. You know, back then, food controls everything. You have food, then you control the world. Just like today, people who go to church. I want Jesus as my king. Why? Because he's going to make me rich. Same thing. Jesus runs away. They misunderstood Jesus' teaching. It's not about making them rich or making them healthy. It's about eternal life. So even though they wanted him as their king, he doesn't want it. Because he is not the king of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. Situation is not that good. Pharisees want to kill him, and these people want to make him an earthly king. Do you understand? He is the king, yes. King of the kingdom of God. He rules as the good shepherd. And the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. But he also takes the place of the lamb. He is our paschal lamb. He who is the shepherd becomes a lamb for us and gives himself to us. Old Testament Passover, you understand what happened there. The lambs were killed and their blood were put on the doorposts so that by seeing the blood, the Lord would prevent the destroyer from coming into the house to kill the firstborn. And at the cross of our Lord, we see the true Passover. He is our paschal lamb. Do you see how the new Exodus has begun with this new Passover, the true Passover? But this time, it's not Exodus from Egypt. It's Exodus from the world. The true Exodus is not coming out of a place of this world to go to another place of this world. That is not true Exodus. The ultimate Exodus that Jesus accomplishes is that we come out of this world and enter the other world. Exodus from the world. And that has already begun by the true Passover when Jesus dies upon that cross as our paschal lamb. As you come to his table today, see how you are participating in this new Exodus. And the feeding of 5,000 has also that picture. The new Exodus has begun. In the old Exodus, they came out from Egypt, and in the wilderness, God provided them with the manna, bread from heaven. But even that bread from heaven was earthly. Even though it came from heaven, they eat of it and they die. It was a picture of the true Exodus, and the feeding of 5,000 indicates to us that the true Exodus has now begun. The greater Moses has come, and they are in the wilderness, but it's not just wilderness anymore. Green grass beside the quiet waters. And there, God, the good shepherd, is providing them with the true manna. Do you see how the new Exodus has begun? And as you come to his table today, realize that you are an active participant in this new Exodus. God provides you with true manna as you live this wilderness life here on earth. But it's not like Old Testament, because spiritually you are already arrived in heaven. He has prepared a table for you. He gives you the bread from heaven that leads to the eternal life. He gives you himself. And that is what is going on even today as we come to his table. Brothers and sisters, you must see your heavenly reality. Go to verse 5b and 6a. Verse 5b and 6a. And let me just read verse 5 and 6. You know, some people get confused, A, B, and all that. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him. Jesus was testing Philip, and he asked, "Where are we to buy bread?" Now, Philip here represents all disciples, and he represents even us. And we'll probably say the same thing as what Philip says. But look, later on in chapter 14, verse 8, we read this. Philip said to him, Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Now, chapter 14 is way after chapter 6. So, Philip says to Jesus, "Show us the Father, then it is enough for me." Which means, at the time of chapter 6, Philip is not satisfied. It's not enough. Jesus is not enough. True manna is not enough. I'm not satisfied. You gotta show me more. Yes, Jesus, you're okay, but I need more. Jesus answers Philip in chapter 14, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Do you see it? Philip is not satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone. In the feeding of the 5,000 people, Jesus gave himself to Philip. And Philip does not understand what was really happening. Philip is not satisfied. "Where are we to buy bread?" Philip's answer, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Where are we to buy this bread? Philip says, I don't know. Philip just does not understand. You see, his focus is on this world. He understands everything only in terms of this world. Jesus was testing him to see if Philip understands this teaching. But Philip doesn't get it because only thing he could do is think everything in terms of this world. That's the only thing he could do. This world is everything to Philip. See, where are we to buy bread? Jesus is the bread. He is the living bread. And we do not buy this bread with the money of this world. We buy this true bread with faith, without cost. And we feed upon the true bread, and you and I are satisfied. We are satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone. What else do we need? No, show me more. I need to see more. You need to do more. I'm not satisfied. Are you like this? Just like Philip? We need to really think about this. Do you, like Philip, see everything and understand everything only in terms of this world? So whatever Jesus says, you will understand that in terms of this world. Now, what must Philip understand here? Philip must see the heavenly reality. He must see and understand the feeding of the 5,000 as if it was happening at the place of glory, as if it was happening in heaven, because that is true. He must see from the event how God is leading his people and making them lie down in green pastures and leading them beside quiet waters and preparing a heavenly banquet for them. But Philip doesn't see it like that. It's all about the world. It's all about just taking care of physical needs of the world. He must not, and you must not, see this event as God just meeting man's physical needs. If you see it just like that, then you, just like Philip, you don't get the message. It's not about Jesus meeting the physical needs of these people. Now, you are coming to the table. You must participate with the knowledge of our heavenly reality. See, you understand that this is not just remembering. Yes, God says to remember him and what he has done. Yes, we do that. But it's not just remembering. That Jesus is inviting you to a place where he is. You have to see your heavenly reality. Spiritually, you are already set down at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ. Spiritually, you have already arrived in heaven and seated at his table in heaven and eating and drinking with God. Eternal fellowshipping with God. So just like Philip, if we just come to this table, only seeing what physical eyes are seeing, only understanding in terms of the world, then you don't get it. Where do we buy this bread? I don't know. Even, you know, $2,000 will not be enough. You will speak like Philip. You will speak nonsense. You are invited by Jesus Christ Himself. He's inviting you to His table in heaven. And you are eating and drinking with your God in that glorious place, our eternal home. You are having fellowship with God, even now. Heavenly banquet has begun and you are invited. And you eat and drink with God. This is your present reality. Not something that you need to wait for. You must see it. You must see beyond this world. You must see your heavenly reality. Philip failed to see that. And I pray to God that none of you will fail to see it. In Numbers 11, we read about the incident in which the Israelites complain about the manna. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is very, very important, guys. I want you to pay attention. Now, even those of you who slept through up to this point, get up and pay attention. Deuteronomy. See, Numbers 11 talks about Israelites complaining about manna. They're saying, manna? Again? I'm sick of manna. Give us something different. But if you truly understand what that manna is pointing to, what are they really saying? Jesus? I'm sick of Jesus. Give us something different. The Word of God? I'm sick of Word of God. Let's do something different. That's what they're saying. They're sick of it. Just like today's churchgoers. They're sick of preaching. You know, they complain about long preaching. They're sick of it. And they're sick of Jesus Christ. So even in preaching, they need to hear some, I don't know, like now it's like a stand-up comic. You need to make them laugh and you need to tell you some interesting story of the world. See, they're sick of Jesus, sick of true manna. Just like Israelites. And pastors, you know, seeing all that, oh, they're sick of it. I need to give them something else. No. If you want something else, you need to go to another church. Only thing we have is Jesus Christ. And we are not sick of the true manna. But why did God give us manna? Why did God give Israelites the manna in the first place? And He tells you in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is important. You read that. Chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That meaning, what this purpose, with this purpose, He gave you manna, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Meaning that man does not live by bread of the world. Man lives by the bread of heaven. The word that comes out of God's mouth. His word. The true manna. Jesus Christ. Understand this. God gives them manna so that they may understand that man does not live by bread of this world, but man lives by the word of God. But only thing they learned from giving of manna was what? They were looking for the bread of the world. God, give us this bread. We like this bread. I want to eat more here on earth. Make me rich. That's the only thing they got from this manna experience. And that's exactly what we see in the feeding of the 5,000. Here's Jesus Christ trying to teach them. Man does not live by bread alone, but they were following Jesus because their bellies were filled. Only thing they got from that is, man, live by the bread of the world. We need it. Do you see this? Do you see what is going on here? Unless God blesses you with true understanding, sinners that could only understand things in terms of this world, that's the only thing they could do. And the only thing they could do is be sick of the true manna. Because that is not what they want. That is not what they desire. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I beg of you. And I pray to God. I beg God to give you the true understanding. We live feeding upon this true manna who came down from heaven, who gave his life for his people. We need to feed upon him, the true manna. And that is what this Lord's Supper is all about. Jesus is giving himself to you. He is giving the true manna to you. His body and his blood, the true food and true drink, he's giving himself to you. He feeds you with true manna so that you understand that man does not live by bread of this world. Oh, brothers and sisters, as you come to the table, realize and believe, yes, I don't live by the bread of this world. I live by the bread of heaven. I live by Jesus Christ, his word. Are you satisfied with the true manna? Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ and him alone? Or do you complain because you do not have the food that perishes, the wealth that erodes? Are you like Israelites in the wilderness, tired of manna? Are you tired of Jesus Christ? Jesus is not enough for you. Like Philip, you will say, show us this or give us this, then it will be enough. As you come to the table, your Lord gives you everything, his life, he is giving you himself. What are you going to say to him? It's not enough for me. It's his table. And Jesus is giving you true food and true drink, but even that true food and true drink is himself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us truly be satisfied with Jesus Christ. and him alone. And whatever that God gives us, we will thankfully and joyfully receive, yes, but that is not our focus. Yes, as you come, like what Psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. I have Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. How blessed we are to receive the true manna from heaven, Jesus Christ himself. And Father, we are truly satisfied. Not because our bellies, physical bellies are filled, but our eternal life is accomplished and completely, perfectly filled us. And Father, we are satisfied with Christ and Christ with him alone. And Father, we pray that by your grace, we are able to say, as we live this life, this great life that you have given to us, that we are able to say, Lord is my shepherd, thus I lack nothing. Oh Father, let us believe and live according to your teaching that man does not live by bread alone, but we live by your word. We live by Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.